shout, aloud and be free. Oh, they shall glorify the name of the Lord. It's the blood of the church, the redeemed. Oh, and our feet. Every prisoner held captive must be free. For our deliverance has come through the power of the Son. It's the blood of the church, a redeemed. Oh, lift up your heart, O Zion of the Lord. Let the earth spring forth with his praise. Oh, all his children rejoice from the islands of the sea. Oh, it's the blood of the church, the redeemed. Oh, and we are redeemed and wanted of the Lord. Oh, we've been watching the blood, and we are going for land. There is nothing that can stop. We might get it for a shout of praise, a two-edged sword. Oh, every stronghold of our ditch must fall beneath our feet. Every prisoner held captive must be free. Let the earth be silent. All wind now cease to blow. Every created thing must fold your wings. Cause there's a new song being sung. It's got a brand new melody. Oh, it's the blood of the church that redeemed. Oh, and we are redeemed. That the army of the Lord. Oh, we've been washed in the blood. And we are going for land. There is nothing that can stop. Fall beneath our feet. Every prisoner held captive must be free. For our deliverance has come through the power of the Son. It's the blood of the church, the redeemed. Let the earth be silent. Oh, when now cease to blow. Every created being must fold your way. Cause there's a new song being sung. It's got a brand new melody. Oh, it's the blood of the church, the redeemed. Oh, and we are in that army of the Lord. Oh, we've been washed in the blood. And we are going forth. And there is nothing that can stop this mighty moving force. A shout of praise, a two-edged sword. Oh, every stronghold of bondage must fall beneath our feet. Every prisoner held captive must be free. For our deliverance has come through the power of the Son. Oh, it's the blood of the church, the redeemed. To
be here tonight. So glad to see all of you that are in the house of God. Amen. Many people from many places. Amen. That makes a whole lot of people, don't it? A few here and a few there. Amen. That's how a lot of you got so wealthy in your few years of living. You got a few dollars here and a few dollars there, and you stuck them back. That's right. And that's what put you where you're at today. Amen. Good crowd, doesn't it? So glad you decided to come on out to the house of the Lord. I don't know of anything better you could do tonight than be in the house of God anyway. Amen. There might be other services you could have went to, but surely there's no place you can be that you should enjoy yourself if you've been born again. And if you're not, then you came to the right place tonight anyway. That's right. Amen. We appreciate you being here. So glad for all the folks from home. Thought Brother Eddie might sing King Jesus for us, but they got his partner to sing tonight. But we appreciate him coming all the way across the hill tonight. Anyway, and we got a young lady here tonight, all the way from Mississippi. That's right. She comes all the way up here. I'm not going to tell you she came just to hear me, but she's here tonight. Amen. We're glad to have Sister Harrison, stand up so they can see you. She comes all the way from the metropolis area of Stringfort, Mississippi. Amen. We're glad to have her tonight. We're glad for all of you that are here. Trust that God will bless you, supply your need. Good to have my father-in-law. Good to have Brother Wayne Powers. Amen. Some of these older ministers of the gospel have been faithful. Amen. Brother McLaughlin's been faithful. Brother McLaughlin's been here every night, I think. They've been faithful over the years. And certainly they have been an example to you and I, younger ministers, to carry the gospel and to go on. Amen. And we're glad to see Brother Ashby's representative here tonight. Amen. Always good to see Sister Ashby. Amen. She's always got that smile. And I like her because she tells me I'm cute, or she used to before I gained all this weight. Amen. So, amen. We appreciate her being here. And so many of you, you came before. We're glad you're here again tonight. I can't call everyone's name. Good to see Brother Gary Morgan. We're just glad for all these preachers of the gospel. We're glad for all of you. Let's worship the Lord tonight. Let's see what God will do for us. How many came expecting something from God? Amen. We thank you for the offering, all that you've done. I'm glad for what God done last night. This is a new night. I'd like to see God do something for somebody. I'll tell you, Sister Brown, she just got my motor wound up last night, and I couldn't stop it. I'm sorry. And I wouldn't care if it happened again tonight, but God kind of led me in a different direction. I like to preach. That's my kind of message I preached last night. If you didn't know, that was my specialty. Amen. I like to preach those kind of messages. Amen. And I wish I could have preached some of that here tonight. Looks like maybe a few would have enjoyed that. Amen. My hair got ruffled and some people's feathers got ruffled last night, but God came by and blessed us and we had a good time. Amen. That's what it's all about. I mean, people go to church and say, well, you know, we went and we done this and the preacher preached and so sung. But if the Holy Ghost don't come by, if we don't see something special, amen, I didn't come down here to just look at you and you didn't come just look at me tonight. We came to have a move of God in our life, did we not? Amen. That's what makes it worth the while when God comes by and touches our heart and touches our soul. I'm glad for the Lord. I'm glad that He'll visit us in our hour of need. He'll be there by our side. Amen. Got a few boys tonight might want to go to sleep on me. So keep an eye on them three on the front seat. Amen. Went to the Chesapeake House this evening. They ate a little bit too much, and Brother Taylor can punch Brother Powers every now and then and keep him awake. Amen. I mean, they put it away, and because I had to preach, I just had to sit and watch a lot. But anyway, I was glad to get my portion. Amen. Well, we haven't sung this song this week, and it's requested we sing it. We sing it at home, at the home church a lot. And it's a shame we have to sing it tonight. They're here. But anyway, Sister Sharon requested we sing it tonight. Since she came all the way over here tonight, we want to sing it for her. That's right. She quit that good job, or got out of that good job at Howard Johnson's, just so she could come over here. Amen. And I'm glad she came tonight.
Life is o'er, each step brings me closer to life evermore. Its walls are of jasper, oh, and its streets are pure gold, for its gates are of pearl, and its beauty untold.
And when the trumpet has sounded, and the gates open wide, and the saints of all ages with the Lord step inside,
nor suffering nor sorrow evermore will be known.
For we'll live with Jesus in a mansion I'll own.
Each tear that I've shed every sorrow I've known, it will seem but as nothing when the Lord calls me home. No more will I labor, oh, every care will be gone, for I know He will give me, He'll give me a mansion my own. And when the trumpet has sounded, and the gates open wide, and the saints of all ages with the Lord step inside, no suffering nor sorrow evermore will be known. For we'll live with Jesus in a mansion I'll own. And each tear that I've shed, every sorrow I've known, it will seem but as nothing when the Lord calls me home. No more will I labor, oh, every care will be gone, for I know He will give me, He'll give me a mansion my own. And when the trumpet has sounded, and the gates open wide, and the saints of all ages with the Lord step inside, no suffering, no sorrow evermore will be known.
For we'll live with Jesus in a mansion I'll own.
Amen. Aren't you glad that that promise is true tonight? Amen. We're going somewhere one day. Hey man, I'll tell you, you don't have to guess after last night what I like. Amen, I like old-time religion. Amen, and I'm not going to try to hide it to this world. I want it to be known what I am. I'm not going to pretend I'm a Baptist because I'm not. Huh? I'm not going to act like I'm a Catholic because I'm not. I'm a Pentecostal. Amen, like what Sister Brown said, she said, furthermore, I'm a holiness. Amen. I'm glad I found this way of holiness a long time ago. Amen. Been learned about ever since I was 4 years old. And I'm glad I'm still on this way since 1977. Gave my heart to the Lord. Amen. Haven't looked back. Still going on. Nothing to turn back for in this world. You just got to keep going on. Amen. I'll take the road I know.
When I was just a little child, I wandered all alone. And when those evening shadows fell, I'd find my way back home. And when somebody said I found a better way to go, I'd say, my friend, I'm going home, so I'll take the road I know.
I'll take the road I know. It leads where I should go. I lose my way, I'll take the road I know. Jesus is the only way to God, and there is no other road.
on. And there are so many, many other roads, but none of them will ever lead me home. And when somebody beckons me to some way that I do not know, oh, that's when I say, my friend, you see, I'm on my way home, so I'll just take the road I know.
I'll take the road I know.
Oh,
it leads where I should go.
Lest
I lose my way, I'll take the road I know. Jesus is the only way to God, and there is no other road.
Lest I lose my way, or I'll take the road I know. I'm traveling on, and there are so many other roads, but you see, none of them will ever lead me home. And when somebody tries to beckon me off on some way that I do not know, oh, that's when I say, my friend, you see, I'm on my way home, oh, so I'm just gonna take the road I know.
I'll take the road I know. It leads where I should go.
Lest
I lose my
way, I'll take the road I know. Jesus is the only way to God,
and there is no other road.
Lest I lose my way, I'll take the road I know.
Would you just raise your hands and praise the Lord tonight? Amen. Amen. I'm glad tonight for the Spirit of an Almighty God that I feel here tonight in this service. Amen. I'm glad the Spirit of the Lord is real. Amen. We're going to do something a little different tonight. We kind of sanction this service toward youth. But I got something for you older folks too, so don't worry. Amen. One of the most important things in our commission in preaching the gospel is to try to reach the lost that are about us. And I've asked Brother Fraser to stand in the back. Now, I'm not trying to be sensational, and I'm not trying to create a mood effect, but we're going to cut the lights off in just a minute in the sanctuary. Amen. If you don't like illustrative preaching, I guess you came the wrong night. Amen. If your children get scared, that's all right. Just get up and quietly take them to the nursery. It won't bother me. Amen. I'll understand. And you won't be able to read with me tonight. We'll leave the light on out in the vestibule there where Sister Taylor's at. We'll cut the sanctuary lights off in just a minute. And I asked Brother Fraser to stand there tonight. If any of you boys are too big for him, I'll sit on you after church, and I'll let him whip you. Amen? I've been real sweet. Some of you has been going in and out a little bit too much during our altar service. Amen? And I'm not down on you. I'm not trying to hurt you. I want you to stay in here, because in here is where you're going to get help. Amen. And if you go to the bathroom, you better not comb your hair. You better go to the bathroom, because he's going to let you out that door one time tonight. Amen. And I'm sorry, but that's the way I feel like we need to do it tonight. Amen. Because I want you to hear what the word is tonight. And I'm preaching to you. I want to try to help you. Amen. I believe God's got something for you. Amen. You can cut the sanctuary lights off, Brother Fraser. Thank you. Amen. Now, you young people behave, because Brother Fraser's going to be on the lookout, and he can see better than you think he can. Amen. And I'm as serious as I've ever been tonight in preaching. So I want you to bear with me tonight. I'm reading tonight from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. And I want you to listen to these words that I'm reading to you, starting with verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers in the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease, because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets, when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all of the daughters of the music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way. The almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Would you bow your head with me tonight? And we're going to pray and ask God to touch hearts. Father in heaven, I'm asking you to move tonight on this congregation of people that's gathered here tonight. Dear God, I'm more serious tonight about preaching the gospel than I've ever been. Lord, we're doing this to try to reach souls. We're not trying to be impressive or be funny or cute. But God, I'm asking you right now to let the seriousness of heaven and the seriousness of hell and of eternity rest on the heart and the soul of every man, woman, boy, and girl in this building tonight. Dear Lord, let me be as Richard Baxter of many years ago. And let me, God, remind you of the quote that he spoke, and I ask God that you'll let me preach as a dying man to dying men. And tonight, God, touch souls and let us be, Lord, one in the way as they try on a downward plunge to go to hell. And we'll not fail to praise you and give you glory and honor for it all. In Jesus' mighty name. Everyone said, amen. In verse 5, and when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the street. I want to preach from that last portion of that scripture. Because man goeth to his long home, and mourners go about the street. Sure as you and I are here tonight, there's going to come a time when everyone in this building is going to face the judgment seat of an almighty God of heaven. You're going to face the judgment seat of Christ, and you're going to have to answer for deeds that you have done or that you have not done. I want to preach tonight. I'm going to tell you as I go along a little later what I'm using these lights for. I feel like this will stick in your mind a little more. I want to preach tonight on the thought, when the lights go out on the road to hell. Newsweek magazine some time ago done a study. They visited with a man whom had a heart attack. He was a victim of a heart attack. Different times as they rushed him to the hospital, this man lapsed out into eternity. And he died, and they were able to revive him, and he would lapse back into unconsciousness. They would revive him again, and again he would lapse into unconsciousness. And it seems like that they were not going to be able to save him, but at last, through all of their efforts and all of their hard labors, they were able to revive this man. Several days later, after he came out of the ward there that he was in, the intensive care ward, he called for the doctors that had worked with him, and he called for the local newspaper, and he said to them, he said, "I want to thank every doctor that worked on me, for you see, when I lapsed into unconsciousness," he said, "my soul went to a devil's hell. Every time I felt myself come back, and every time they let me lapse into unconsciousness again, I felt my soul as it went out into an eternal burning hell." He said, "I was an atheist. I was an infidel. I did not believe in heaven or in hell." But he said, "Today I witness to you as a man that believes firmly that there is an everlasting burning hell somewhere beyond the regions of the damned." Today, by the way, that man is traveling across the country preaching the gospel and trying to reach out to souls around about him. Amen. As I look around today, I see men and women that have taken the word hell and they've taken it lightly. Hell is something of a byword. I've worked with men and women that have used it very lightly. They've laughed with hilarity and they've grabbed their sides and they've sneered as they pointed in someone's face and told their friend, "You go to hell." But I'm here to preach to you tonight and tell you, friend, that hell is not something nothing more than a mere byword, but it is something of a reality. And for millions of souls tonight that are already there burning in the flames of hell, if they just had one chance, oh dear friend, if I could do one thing to convince you as young and old alike to live for God tonight, I wish rather than a trip to the National Zoo, amen, or to Monticello or somewhere, this year in our Christian school system, Brother Ken Taylor, we could load young people up on the bus you have out there and take them up and down the corridors of hell and see there Judas, who was once one of the chosen 12, one of the disciples of God. I would to God tonight we could take them down the corridors of hell and let them see that one who went out and hanged himself, and the Bible said that his bowels gushed out in the midst of a field where he fell headlong, and so much that that field is unto this day called the Seldama, which is in the Hebrew tongue the field of blood. Amen. Too many men and women have taken hell lightly. Hell's just another word. Amen. But let me preach to you and tell you tonight that Baker's funeral home down the road, Moser's funeral home in Warrington, any funeral home across this land tonight could preach this message much better than I could preach it. There are souls that are lying there in cold and wake tonight in a cold steel casket. And if they could have one more opportunity, they'd stand before a church. If we could roll back the door to hell tonight, there are men there such as a rich man that said, "Please send somebody back. Send Lazarus back and preach to my five brothers that are back in my father's house." But no doubt many of you that are in this building would plunge headlong in your hard-headed way, and you'd not listen to the voice of one, even though it were one that were raised from the dead. No doubt many of you tonight, despite the waving of one that had been raised from the casket and come here to preach to you tonight, despite one that had been given another opportunity at life, no doubt there are many of you here that would pass up that opportunity and go your way in a world of sin. Amen. Here's a little poem I found. There's coming a time on the highway of sin when every soul that's traveling therein will swing beyond God's mercy to dwell when the lights go out on their road to hell. You sin against man, you sin against right. You sin till God's mercy is gone from your sight. Then what will you do, or what will you say? Or what will you tell when the lights go out on the road to hell? You comfort yourself saying, I'll change, forgetting how far into sin you've ranged. What will you do, or what will you tell when your lights have gone out? When that baby will grow up and he himself will have to make a choice and a decision about whether he will live for God, he will shout throughout the endless ages of eternity in heaven, or whether he will turn his back upon God and go and die lost forever in a devil's hell. In a far city, a pastor and his wife went to pastor a church. There was a lady there whom they visited day after day after day. And they tried to reach her. And they tried to cry out to her. And they begged and they pleaded, ma'am, would you come to the house of God? But to no avail. All that they could do, all the pleading, all the prayer. And still it seemed that her heart was bent. And that she was bent on dying and going to hell. One day the preacher's wife went by and said to her, ma'am, could you tell me one thing? What have I done to you? What is my husband done to you that keeps you from coming to the house of God? That lady looked at that woman and that preacher's wife and said to her, ma'am, I remember when I was a little girl, said one night we were in a revival service and the Spirit of the Holy Ghost dealt with me. I was but 5 years old, and as I sat there in that service and the preacher preached his heart out and gave the altar call, said the Spirit of God spoke to my soul that night. And as I got out of my seat to make my way to an altar, my mother grabbed me by the dress tail and said, young lady, get back here and sit down. You'll not go pray. You're too young to know what it's all about. You don't understand anything about it. Get back here and sit down. She said, let me tell you something, preacher's wife. She said, I may go to hell, but the blood of my soul will be upon the hands of my mother. Let me tell you parents something in here tonight. I read nowhere in my Bible, amen, where you have to be 12 years old before you come to the understanding and the knowledge of the Spirit and of the truth of God. I remember when but 6 years old I got saved my first time, and God moved on me, and God moved on me in a mighty way, and how I rolled into four and the Spirit of God came by. I want you to know, dear friend, amen, there are many in this building tonight. The light of innocence has been on in your soul. But I am afraid that in some such service as this, the light of innocence may go out. It may be your 5 or 6 year old that may tonight come to the knowledge and the realization that there's a hell, there's a heaven to gain, and that there's a hell to shun. Amen. Many people hide behind mama's coat and daddy's coattail and mama's dress tail, and saying, I'm not ready to go, and I don't know anything about living for God. But I'm here to preach to you tonight, friend. You felt the Spirit of God in your life. And once you feel it, you don't have to ask anybody. If God's tugged, and I feel like God has tugged at many of your hearts in this revival meeting. And maybe some of you as young people have passed it off and went the other way. Maybe it's been mom and dad that you haven't pressed the issue too much. Maybe it's been that you didn't invite your child to the altar while they were still but a child. And you said, when they get on up in the teenage years, I'll teach them something. The Catholic Church tells us today, if you want your child to be a Catholic, give them to us when they're 4 years old. Let us have them by the time they're six. And we'll make a Catholic
account of them for the rest of their life. I want you to know the time to come is when God's Spirit draws you. I don't care if you're three. Many come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ at earlier ages. For some it may be 9. For some it may be 10, 11, 12. But I'm convinced that there are some that have sat in our churches at the age of 5, 6, and 7 years old. I remember preaching in a church some time back, and a little old boy that was 10 years old. I remember him cursing. I remember him sitting on the back seat. I remember him being a hard-hearted young man, not being able to reach him for God. Oh, somewhere along the way, the age of accountability came for him at an earlier age, no doubt. And he turned it aside. Maybe some preacher, maybe some mother told him, "You're too young to know what this is about, and you don't understand, and leave it alone." And therefore, his heart is hardened today. But I'm here to tell you, mother, one day, you're going to go tuck that little girl in one night. She's going to look up at you and say, "Mom, I don't need you to do that anymore. I'm bigger now. I'm big enough to know what I want to do. I'm big enough to do this myself." One day, the light of innocence is going to go out in the heart of that young person. We move on now to what I will call the yellow light of youth. Many of you are in that category tonight. Every one of us had a time when we were babes and we could ignore. But many of you tonight are in the light of youth. I remember a story of a young man who one night went to a Church of God preacher friend of mine. Went to his church and the preacher was dealing with him. And the preacher was pleading for his soul. He told that preacher, he said, "I'm popular. I don't need you and I don't need the church. And when I get older, I'll come and live for God. But," he said, "right now I'm the star of the basketball team. All the girls are after me. I've got many, many things to do in life. And please don't bother me with this gospel nonsense now." At the age of 16 years old, while out on the basketball floor practicing one evening, he died of a cerebral hemorrhage. He fell down to the ground, not knowing that he would die that day when he walked out there, not knowing that it would be his last day. But friend, I'm here to tell you, for that young man, the lights went out on the road to hell much quicker than he anticipated. Right there in the heart of youth, when everything was going high and everything was rolling big, you don't have the promise of tomorrow. You don't have the promise of another revival. You don't have the promise of another Sunday night evangelistic service. If I were you tonight and I were in this building, lost without God, I'd lay aside all of the pleasure of this world. I'd lay aside the ignorance of my youth, and I'd run to an altar of prayer, and I'd ask God to cover me by His everlasting eternal blood and save me from an eternal burning hell. Amen. A young lady on graduation night came to her father. And she said, "Dad, this is graduation night. I usually have to be in by 10. Would you let me stay out a little later tonight?" He said, "Honey, this is graduation night. It's a one-time shot in your life. I'll be glad for you to go with your boyfriend to the graduation party if you want to go. It doesn't matter to me. You do what you want to. Come in what time you want to come in. This is your night. One-shot deal. You'll never graduate from high school again. You go on out there and do what you want to do tonight, and we'll set the rules up again later." 3 o'clock that morning, there came a knock on his door, and sleepily he walked to the door, and there was a chief of police in his town. He said, "Mr. Get Dressed, come with me. There's been a wreck at such and such a street. I want you to come. There, your daughter's been involved in a terrible accident." He got dressed and hurried over to the scene of the accident. There he seen twisted, mangled automobiles. Two of them there. And he seen twisted bodies lying under sheets over in the brush and up against the trees that were surrounding the highway. He walked over there and sadness filled his heart. He walked over to the car and seen the beer cans and the filth that was in there, the cigarette butts that lie around. And he went back over to that chief of police, and anger arose within him. And he said, chief of police, he said, mister, I'm going to kill the man when I find out who sold that beer to my young daughter. I'm going to kill him when I find out. I'm going to kill him when I get my hands on him. And he went home, and there as he berated and was so sad over the condition, and that his daughter had died and went out into eternity. And there that morning he got up on Saturday morning, walked to the refrigerator to get himself a beer, trying to drown his sorrows. And he saw a note on the refrigerator door that made him pull up short from his destination. And on that note it said, daddy, I didn't think you'd mind if my boyfriend and I took some of your beer for the party tonight. And there that man that had earlier that night pronounced judgment had already found it coming home to him. Let me tell you, parents, something. It's a lie out of hell, and the devil's warped your mind if you think you can tell your daughter or your son to be an old-time Christian and you're nothing but a hypocrite and you're anything less than that yourself. Amen. If you're going to expect them to be an on-fire Christian for the Lord and expect them to go to heaven, you're going to have to live a life, amen, of that sort in front of them. A life that'll make them hunger and thirst after righteousness. Amen. If you don't, the blood of those innocent young people will be on your hand on the day of judgment. Amen. Many a parent have told their children, you go down to church and you be a good Christian and you get up Sunday morning and go, but I'm going to lay in the bed and not go. I'm here to tell you, mama, you cannot win your children to God like that. That's the reason many of you tonight, your heart is heavy, your children is lost, because you tried to pull that same prank with them. I'm here to tell you, it will not work. Amen. It will not work. One day, dear friend, you're going to go to the mirror. You're a beautiful young lady tonight. You're a handsome young man. All the girls want to date with you. All the boys want to date you. I'm here to tell you, there's going to come a day you're going to go to the mirror. You're going to look there, and that nice head full of black hair, it's going to be gone. It's slowly removing. It's receding. The hairline is receding. That coal black hair is now filling with gray hairs. That smooth, beautiful complexion you had is now beginning to fill with wrinkles. And on that day, the light of youth is going to go out on the road to hell. I'm preaching tonight on when the lights go out on the road to hell. We're going to call this red light the red light of pleasure. Tonight we could take a ride. Brother Gary Edenfield was very much in awe and stupefied, if you please. Brother Morgan took him down on 14th Street when he was preaching for him one time. And I've heard him tell of it several times. And how that it amazed him of the people that were there. We could go to the French quarters in the city of New Orleans, Louisiana. I've been there several times. One day while riding through there, I spotted a young man. Had a bottle in one hand, lying out across a step, passed out in the sunlight. Looked like he hadn't had a bath for several days. Had so much alcohol in him already at 11 o'clock that morning, he had already passed out on the step. If we could have walked up to that young man and awoke him and asked him, sir, are you having fun? Is your life fulfilling all of the desires that you had hoped it would? Have you been able to meet all of the ambitions and the goals in life that you set out to meet? I'm afraid that he would rise up and shake. And listen to me, young people. Hey, man, you might laugh at the preacher when he tells you it only takes one drink to start you on your way to being a drunkard. But I could take you to an AA meeting tonight, and I could let you talk to some men and some women in a drying out clinic, and let you ask them about it, and they'd tell you the same thing. It started out one night because I wanted someone to think a lot of me. I might spend a little more time with this one, because I wanted someone to think a lot of me, because I wanted to be cool with the boys. I picked it up. I could take you tonight to the town, the city of Moss Point, Mississippi, and there's a lady, some 60 some odd years old, I believe about 68. The doctors have already told her the number of days she has to live. After 30 years of smoking cigarettes day in and day out, her lungs are ate up. Cancer has taken over them, in so much that the Cancer Institute in Houston, Texas said, we can no longer do anything for you. If you could ask that lady, ma'am, did you enjoy all that you did? Was your life fulfilled? She'd scream 1,000 times no. I can't breathe good at night. I've lost my breath. I feel like I'm smothering. I'm a dying at the age of 68 years old, and I haven't been able to have an enjoyable life. I haven't been able to fulfill. If we could ask that drunkard on the street, sir, are you happy? He'd say no 1,000 times no. This bottle that I have in my hand, it's taken the wife that I loved. It's taken the children that belong to me. It's taken the job goal that I had. It's ruined me. Every day that I get up, I am bound. I want you to know, friend, somewhere in your life, amen, the light of pleasure has got a hold of some of our people, old and young alike, and it's about to ruin their home. Amen, it's about to ruin their life for an eternity. Oh, God, pray, saints. Hey, pray, saints. If I could take you down to the red light district, 14th Street in Washington, D.C., there stands a beautiful young lady. You can tell she's once been a beautiful young lady. Her features are there. She has prominent features, but her face is scarred and her body's drawn. She's already at the age of 25 beginning to look like an old woman. She's drawn. She's shaking. She's trying to call somebody down the street. Would you come? We could ask her, ma'am, does this give you a fulfilling life? Are you happy with your plot? She'd say, no, sir. I ran away from home when I was 14 years old. They told me that if I'd come to D.C., if I could go to New York or Los Angeles, that I might could find somebody that want me to be a model. I thought I wouldn't have to put up with mom and dad's restraints. I thought everything would be all right. But you see, mister, it wasn't that way at all. My life is miserable. Today I'm bound for drugs. If I don't get it fixed pretty soon today, I'm getting ready to go cold turkey. My nerves are shaking. I got to find something. I don't like doing these tricks that I'm doing. But you see, if I don't, I'll die. My body can't make it one day without a fair fix of heroin. I can't make it without a snort of cocaine. I'm bound if somebody had only warned me several years ago when I went to that party and they told me if I was really the woman I should be, I'd stand and try it with them. I wish I'd have never tried it. I wish I'd have turned away from it, but I didn't. Oh, and now I'm a junkie. I can't get off of it. I tried to get away from it. I wish I didn't have to, but I'm hooked here for the rest of my life. I'm bound. Oh, God. I'm bound. In the regions of our church world today, young men and young women have sold their purity. Young ladies, listen to me, many of our young ladies in our holiness churches have sold their purity for one night. A cheap ride in the backseat of some car. I'm going to preach plain tonight. Hey, man, you say, preacher, this ain't the place for it. I'm going to tell you a lot more of it goes on in our church world than you or I, the one, want to admit. You say, but Brother Webb, I didn't want to. I'd like to be a pure, holy, upright young bride when I walk down the aisle. But you don't understand that young man. I can't get a date if I don't. I want to tell you, you better be an old maid the rest of your life. Hey man, if that's the kind of young men, if that's the only ones that'll look at you and take you out, you better leave them alone. Hey man, die, go to the grave, an old maid don't ever know what married life or a taste of marriage is all about. Hell, you said, Brother Webb, but he told me if I loved him, I would. No, friend, I'm here to tell you, he don't want you. All he wants is what you've got, and he'll dump you and leave you. I'm trying to preach to you tonight and tell you that this pleasure of sin is not worth it. Amen. The pleasure of sin will only last for a season. But the eternal flame of a burning hell is going to last throughout the endless ages. Eternity, a place without a beginning and a place without an end. Infinity, as long as you can look out there. Amen. And it'll never end. I'm trying to tell you it's not worth it tonight. Young lady, it's not worth it tonight. Young man, live for God. Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Amen. You said, but Brother Webb, you don't understand. I like to be a good Christian young man. But all the boys in school, they're tallying up the numbers of girls they had out for one night stand. Amen. Kind of like a notch on their gun. And if I don't, I'm going to be a sissy. I'm going to be an oddball. You be an oddball. You let them call you preacher boy. You let them call you fanatic. Let them call you anything they want to. Because I'm going to tell you, when the trumpet sounds and when the dead in Christ rise and we which are alive and remain shall be called up to be with him in the air, on that day, dear friend, we're going to be glad, amen, that we stood, and we're going to be glad they called us preacher boy, and we're going to be glad they laughed at us. Let them laugh at you down at Stonewall Jackson High School. For those of you that don't have the privilege to go to this Christian school, amen, let them laugh at you up at Fauquier High School if they will. I'm here to tell you, friend, on the day of judgment, when he says, well done, my good and faithful servant, it's going to be worth it all on that day. Amen. Amen. When the lights go out on the road to hell. Amen. One day, it's all going to be over. The pleasure is not going to be quite so fulfilling. I could take you to the hospitals tonight in the derelict wards. Show you men whose mind is blown on drugs and on alcohol. They can't utter two sentences that are intelligent and understandable. Their mind is gone. And unless it's a miracle, divine miracle of God, they'll never have it back. I went to school with a young lady who was very popular. Things were going her way. She was the captain of the cheerleading squad. I never will forget the day we were riding on a bus home. Two boys called her over and said, come here. I said, look, Sue, if you want to be popular, you're going to have to do some things that we do. They give her a little plastic cigar, about 8 inches tall, and just full of some type of drug. I said, try this, and we want you to come to such and such a party we're going to be having. Come and join the crowd. She went. She was all right, but 6 months later, she overdosed at a party one night. She spent several months, even as high as a year, in a padded cell in Western State Insane Asylum in Stanton, Virginia. Her daddy was a wealthy insurance agent in town. They had the big brick home that everybody dreamed of. She had a nice little car to ride around in, had a big swimming pool in the backyard according to American standards. They were all doing great. But now she's a vegetable. And life, the pleasure, the light of pleasure, suddenly went out in her soul. We come now to the last light. And I'm going to call it the white light of life. That's all you have left. You've left the stage of innocence. You've left the stage of youth. Pleasure no longer holds any interest. And life is all you have. In a hospital room, somewhere in a city, a man is dying. They come in, they bring the paddles, they're going to give him electrical shock, they're going to bring him back to life. They're working, nurses are running, doctors are shouting orders. Do something for this man, hurry, quick! He's going out. He's going to die. He's about gone. Hurry. Hurry, hurry. Somebody do something. Somebody run. Run quick. Get the instrument. We're going to shock him. We're going to try. Somebody reach over there. Try to resuscitate him. Mouth to mouth resuscitation. Quick, he's going. He's about gone. Oh, God, help us. Help us. Help us. This man's a dying. We've got to do something quick. We've got to do something quick. And all of a sudden, the beep on the monitor stops. Everyone in the room turns. No longer is there a little line that was there going across the monitor. Now it's nothing but a straight line. Everybody stands there. The doctor stands. He shakes his head, a sad countenance. He makes his way out the door to the family that awaits crying in the waiting room. And there he stands before them and said, I'm sorry. We've done all that we could do. He's gone. He's gone. He's gone. That moment, the heart quit beating. The brain waves quit functioning. Everything stopped. And that moment, for that man that had heard the gospel, for that man that had heard preacher after preacher, for that man that had been in service after service, and felt the spirit of conviction tugging at his heart. In that moment, the light of life went out in his soul. But it's not over. The next thing we go to is the great white throne judgment of God. John B. Doe. I cannot find your name written in the book of life. Cast him into outer darkness where there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. But no, Lord, I cast out devils in your name. I gave to the charities of the church. I tried to do the best I could do. No, Lord, please, God, don't send me to an everlasting, eternal burning hell. But I'm sorry, I cannot find your name written in the book of life. Cast him into outer darkness, into an eternal burning lake of fire, where there he'll spend eternity. And all the lights have gone out on the road to hell. You played on your innocence. You played on your youth. You played with pleasure. You played on the fact that you still had life and tomorrow you could get ready. But it's all gone. And now the judgment. An everlasting, eternal lake of fire. They're coming to the piano. Maybe my wife can come tonight if she's in here and sing that song one day. Too late. I'm turning this one light back on for right now. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. Amen. Come. Amen. Amen. When the lights go out on the road to hell. Father in heaven, I'm asking you to reach out with conviction power and touch every heart and soul in this building tonight. I'm asking you to move, Lord, right now. Convict them. The power of the Holy Ghost. Don't let one soul leave this building over the prayer of saints. And will not fail to praise you for it. I wonder tonight. Saints are praying. I'm going to tell you, friend, I feel God in this place. And I'm more serious tonight than I've ever been about preaching the gospel. And I feel like this service is every bit as important, if not more, maybe more than last night. And I wonder tonight if there's one, you'll slip up your hand in this building and say, Brother Webb, I need the Lord tonight. I'm lost without God. Amen. Brother Fraser, would you flip the lights on for me? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking around. Today.
Saints are praying.
When you come to kneel,
you'd slip your hand up tonight and say, Brother Webb, I'm lost. I don't know the Lord as my Savior. Is there one here tonight? You'll slip your hand up and say, pray for me. God bless you. Is there another one here? Young person, Brother Webb, I've been playing games with God. The Lord would have called for me tonight. I'm not ready to go. Oh, the light's shone bright tonight on the road to hell. The world's beckoning to you. Look at us. But the lights could go out on the road to hell for you tonight. Broad is the way that leads to hell. And many shall there be that go therein. I'm trying to block you. I'm trying to stop you on your fast race to hell tonight. Is there another one? You'll slip up your hand and say, Brother Webb, honest between God and myself tonight, I'm lost without God. If the Lord were to call for me tonight, I'm on my way to hell. I need God to touch me. Is there another one here tonight? Is there another one here tonight, sinner friend? God came by here tonight to touch you. Is there another one here? Brother Webb, I'll tell you, I'm not as revived as I need to be in this meeting. There's some things in my life I know they're wrong. And I've been taught ever since I was but a lad and but a small girl, they're wrong. And there's some sin in my life tonight that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt. It could keep me from heaven. The Lord called for me tonight. I want you to pray for me that I'll get a renewing in this revival meeting. Would you slip up your hand, young lady? Young man, tonight God's a calling on you. I'm begging you not to pass up this opportunity tonight. Oh, the Spirit of God is here. Brother Webb, I've had problem in living for God. But I realize tonight I'm not no better than anybody else. I can end up in the devil's hell. I played around the edges, but tonight I want you to pray for me that I'll get rooted and grounded and I won't miss heaven. Is there another one here tonight? You'll slip your hand up quickly. Brother Webb, I've argued that old-time religion's not right. And in my heart, I fought it. But tonight I realize there's no other way. How about you, Mama, Dad? Would you slip up your hand? Say, Brother Webb, I think I could be a better example than what I've been being. Would you pray for me that I'd be that from this night forth? How many's going to slip your hand up? God bless you. God bless you. I see those hands. God's Spirit is a-moving here tonight. Quickly, young person. How about you, young man, young lady? You slip up your hand and say, Brother Webb, I'm not as dedicated as I have been. And I realize that I'm going cold and at ease in my soul. Tonight I want God to build a new fire in my heart. Would you slip your hand up? Brother Webb, I'll admit that all I've been really interested in is those around me and what I could get out of church. But tonight I want to start a new commitment. I want to see what I can do for the church. Would you slip up your hand tonight and say, I need prayer. God bless you. I see that hand. Amen. I see those. Is there another one? God's Spirit is here and moving on you tonight. I'm going to close this altar service in a minute.